Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. By the cemetery. In the place where I live, there's a cemetery just down the road. Every day when I walk to school, I saw the mourning family grieving over a lost friend or relative. On one such day in February of 2009, when I was passing through the graveyard, I saw a terrible, heartbreaking, astonishing sight which left me disturbed the whole day. I couldn't concentrate on my studies, nor could I pay attention to any other things. As I walked down the road, I felt a sudden negative feeling that I should immediately run away from this place, to flee away, to never come back. It was really weird, because at the same time, I felt something totally contradictory. A strange kind of sensation pulsed through me, one that said I had some deep connection rooted here with something or someone. Nora's sympathy was always around me, like someone was waiting for me. For a few days, I could not make head or tail of what was happening with me. Strange incidents started taking place with me. Sometimes I heard loud screaming noises from my window, and most importantly, whenever I used to go out of the house, I would have the sense that someone was following me, guiding me, protecting me. This started happening, and it scared the hell out of me. About after a year, I guess it was February of 2010, I decided to go for a walk at night. The weather was beautiful, warm, and windy, sort of. I told my mom that I would be back within an hour. As I started down the steps, I felt the familiar feeling that someone was following me. Before this, many times I had turned to see who, but no one was ever there. But today it was vaguely different. I heard a whisper that oddly sounded like, "Never look back." Of course, the whisper only compelled me to do exactly the opposite thing. Out of curiosity, I slowly turned behind and was shocked to see a child of hardly 9 years glaring at me with those deep eyes. He had an expression which was gravely mature for such a small child. It was very difficult to interpret the look on his angelic face. He was smiling in a murderously kind way. He looked like he wanted to say, "I miss you. Come back to me. Come back to me now." It was hard to look away from those searching eyes. But when I was able to finally look away, my eyes fell on his feet. To my extreme horror, his body was dangling at least 2 feet above the ground. With my eyes wide open in fear, I looked back at the child's face. His smile had grown wider, and it represented deep-rooted happiness, as if the fact that he was not human did not matter to him anymore. His silent lips mouthed the words, "Come soon." Without another word, he glided through the dark alley, never looking back. Whenever I remember the dreadful sight of a father carrying his dead son in a locked coffin, I think that the dates may not be a mere coincidence. The Whistler. I just moved to Gauteng a week earlier from DBN. My ex-partner and I moved in with some of my campus buddies in a rented 5-bedroom house in a small town on the north end of Gauteng. Since we moved in, I always had a cold feeling being in the house. I knew at the get-go that something was not so right in the house. It felt like it was covered in darkness, even though the big old house was positioned to face the sun. We hardly had any light or warmth coming in. One night, we all went out to dinner and arrived back at the house in the early hours of the morning. My partner and I had gone to bed around 2 a.m. I woke around 2:45, needing to have a drink of water. As I awoke, so did my partner. While having a drink of water, my partner decided to light a cigarette and chat because we both felt restless and couldn't sleep much. At exactly 3 a.m., my partner decided to open our bedroom window to let out the smoke from the cigarette when we heard the most ghastly whistle coming from outside. We both looked at each other in shock. We thought that maybe someone was in the yard, but it couldn't be possible as we lived on a gated property. In shock, my partner quickly shut the window while I sat there, scared witless. We immediately tried to open our bedroom door to alert the others in the house, but our door wouldn't open. Just then, we saw a shadow from under our door pass through the long passageway. I screamed to my friend thinking it was her, but got no reply. I immediately banged on the wall so that they would wake up, and they did. As they responded, our bedroom door suddenly opened on its own. Freaked out as we were, we ran out of the room and into the lounge where we heard the whistling coming from the kitchen. But this time, All five of us that lived in the house heard it too. The whistle was creepy and soft, almost as if it were a whisper. Just thinking about it now gives me shivers. We never found out where the whistling was coming from. However, we did eventually find out that a woman was murdered in the house by her husband and buried in the backyard next to our bedroom window. 2 months after I had moved out of the house, I alerted authorities, and they searched the property and found the remains of the woman. To this day, 5 years later, I still don't know if the whistle was that of the woman or something more sinister. The Thing. Last summer, I stayed with my auntie but couldn't sleep in the old house. That was because my cousins constantly told me ghost stories that took place in the house. I heard someone moving around in the kitchen. I figured that it was auntie wanting a midnight snack, which wasn't that unusual, let me tell you. So I crept down the stairs hoping to scare Auntie Lynn. Or maybe if I was lucky, I would scare Uncle Thomas. As I reached the kitchen door, I heard someone laugh, and it was definitely not Auntie Lynn or Uncle T. I peered around the corner and saw a shape. That's the best way to describe it. It was black and seemed to flow like water. Yet it stood, or floated, I guess, upright like a human. I stayed as still as I possibly could, too frightened to call out for Uncle T. But then the clock rung out the first of 12 chimes. It was midnight. With each chime, the thing grew. By the 12th chime, the shape was almost 3 times as big as the refrigerator. I stayed where I was. As that last ring faded away, I started feeling involuntarily tired. I struggled to keep my eyes open. The next thing I knew, my Auntie Lynn was shaking me, wondering why I was held against the kitchen door. I looked at the clock. It was 8 o'clock. I couldn't answer her. I walked over to the sink where the thing had been and looked at the tap. If I looked closely, there was a piece of black goop about the size of a quarter. My Auntie Lynn came up behind me. She looked at the sink and grabbed her cell phone. The next thing I knew, she was talking to someone about a mold problem. Unless mold comes alive at 11:55, I'm absolutely convinced that I was in the presence of a genuine ghost. Screaming Jenny. The old storage sheds along the tracks were abandoned shortly after the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad was built, and it wasn't long before the poor folk of the area moved in. The sheds provided shelter of a sort, although the winter wind still pierced through every crevice and the small fireplace that the poor constructed did little to keep the cold at bay. A gentle, kindly woman named Jenny lived alone in one of the smaller sheds. She had fallen on hard times, and with no family to protect her, she was forced to find work where she could and take whatever shelter was available to someone with little money. Jenny never had enough to eat, and in winter her tiny fire barely kept her alive during the cold months. Still, she kept her spirits up and tried to help other folks when they took sick or needed food, sometimes going without herself so that another could eat. One cold evening in late autumn, Jenny sat shivering over her fire, drinking broth out of a wooden bowl, when a spark flew from the fire and lit her skirts on fire. Intent on filling her aching stomach, Jenny did not notice her flaming clothes until the fire had burnt through the heavy wool of her skirt and began to scorch her skin. Leaping up in terror, Jenny threw her broth over the licking flames, but the fluid did nothing to douse the fire. In terror, Jenny fled from the shack and ran along the track, screaming for help as the flames engulfed her body. The station was not far away, and instinctively Jenny made for it, hoping to find someone to aid her. Within moments, her body was a glowing inferno, and Jenny was overwhelmed by pain. Her screams grew more horrible as her steps slowed. She staggered blindly onto the tracks just west of the station, a ball of fire that barely looked human. In her agony, she did not see the glowing headlight of the train rounding the curve or hear the screech of the brakes as the engineer spotted her fire-eaten figure and tried to stop. A moment later, her terrible screams broke off as the train mowed her down. Alerted by the whistle, the crew from the station came running as the engineer halted the train and ran back down the tracks toward the poor dead Jenny, who was still burning. The men doused the fire and carried her body back to the station. She was given a pauper's funeral and buried in an unmarked grave in the local churchyard. Within a few days, another poverty-stricken family had moved into her shack, and Jenny was forgotten. Forgotten, that is, until a month later, when a train rounding the bend west of the station was confronted by a screaming ball of fire. Too late to stop, the engineer plowed over the glowing figure before he could bring the train to a screeching halt. Leaping from the engine, he ran back down the tracks to search for a mangled, burning body, but there was nothing there. Shaken, he brought his train into the station and reported the incident to the station master. After hearing his tale, the station master remembered poor dead Jenny and realized that her ghost had returned to haunt the tracks where she had died. To this day, the phantom of screaming Jenny still appears on the tracks on the anniversary of the day she died. Many an engineer has rounded the curve just west of the station and found himself face to face with the burning ghost of screaming Jenny as once more she makes her deadly run towards the Harper's Ferry station, seeking in vain for someone to save her. Something running up the hill. Hi, my name is Josh. This happened in September of 2009. It was about 9 p.m. and my friends Brett and Corey, along with myself and my dog, walked through the woods to a nice hill overlooking our part of the county. We were talking about many things, such as our futures. Corey's uncle, who lives at the bottom of the hill, drove up on a four-wheeler and did a quick spin around, then drove back the way he came. Not thinking much of it, we continued talking. Brett said he had heard something, but I didn't, so we kept talking. About 5 minutes later, we stopped talking and heard a horrendous shriek unlike any other of us had ever heard. Freaked out, we all jumped to our feet and bolted to the bottom of the hill. Finally, in the comfort of light, we stopped, but Corey's uncle and his neighbors were standing outside their trailers. We immediately walked back to Corey's house. While walking, the dog started sniffing at something. Brett shined the light to see that it was a dead animal in the road. Not crushed, but dead, and had visible wounds on the head and torso. About 20 feet later, Brett noticed a chipmunk with the same wounds. When we arrived at Corey's house, we began discussing what it could have been. It couldn't be an animal because the dog did not sense anything, or a person for that matter. The dog was as freaked out as we were, along with the other dogs in the area. Finally able to walk in the dark, Brett and I headed for my house. We were about 100 yards away when I received a call from Corey. He had talked to his uncle, who said there was something banging on his and his neighbor's windows and noticed something running up the hill, feet from where we were sitting. None of us know who or what in the heck was up there. But do we really want to know? Something outside the window. I was visiting my stepmom's house, getting her stuff so she could move in with us. I had to go to the bathroom and walked in, and while washing my hands, I looked out the window. I saw a beautiful white horse and told my stepmom later. "I didn't know you had a horse," she said. "I don't." As she looked out the window, it disappeared. She warned me about the house being haunted, and I thought, why would a horse be haunting this house? After about 2 hours, I went outside to play with the dogs, and I saw a strange figure. I got a little closer, and I saw a little girl sitting on a bench. She looked sad. Another figure showed up, and she suddenly cheered up. The figure was a little dog, about beagle size. I started to move closer, and they disappeared. That same day, we spent the night there. Throughout the day, I could feel it getting colder, and I also had a feeling someone was behind me, but every time I looked back, no one was there. The dog suddenly got aggressive, growling at something that wasn't there. Then they got up and they both walked to the kitchen. They stood there growling and barking at the window. It was already nighttime outside. We all got up and walked over to look out the kitchen window to see what they were making a racket about. Then my stepmom shouted, "Ghost!" We all saw it. It was horrible looking. Personally, I don't think it was a ghost. I think it was some kind of weird being. It was about 6 or 7 feet tall with thick black fur all over. Its eyes were amber colored and it resembled a wolf, but it walked on two legs. Its fangs had to be an inch or two long. I will never spend the night there again. What if next time it decides that it wants to come inside the house? The girl with no legs. I used to work at a very large arts camp that was originally a sawmill. I had many strange experiences there. The first one happened that night after we took all the kids to a performance. One of the kids got sick and I was taking him back to the cabin. It was kind of rainy out, so we walked through the school instead of outside. The school is basically a very long hallway with about 20 classrooms on either side. As we entered it from one end, the lights were out and just the exit signs lit up the hallway. At about halfway down, we saw what looked like a little girl sitting in the dark. She saw us and started to crawl down the hall away from us and into a classroom. Being a counselor, I'm thinking, uh-oh, unattended child. So we quickened our pace to catch up with her. As we got closer, I realized that she was missing her legs. Yes, I was freaked out, but I still have to assume she's a lost camper. I finally get to the room where she disappeared into and I turned on the light. I called out to her and both the sick boy and I looked for her in that room, but it was completely empty. The two of us went to the office to get more help while I took him to the cabin and waited with him. The next morning, I went to the office to have a briefing about last night. Several employees also tried to look for her but found no one. The owner of the camp then asked if I was sure the girl was missing legs. He then assured me that there were no children attending the camp with such a disability. He then told me about the history of this camp. When the area was still a sawmill, one of the workers' daughters came to bring him lunch. She wandered about the sawmill and accidentally fell into a chipper. She died instantly and the mill closed down because the town was in such an uproar about the incident. Several years later, the camp bought the property and has been there ever since. Throughout the camp's long history, there have been several sightings of this ghost girl. Help me. There I was out on my front porch when bang, something in the house fell over. I jumped up and spun around to look through the window. My bookshelf had fallen over. Unsure, I went inside to fix it. As I entered the house, the light went out. My heart started to pound. An eerie voice drifted down the hallway. Help me. My mouth went dry and I began to shake all over. Suddenly, I couldn't move. Fear had stopped me in my tracks. I wanted to help whoever had asked for it, but I just couldn't move. Then, fighting the urge, I took a step and then another. My arms outstretched, I felt my way down the hallway. When I got there, I tried to turn the lights back on, but it was no use. Then, from out of the corner of my eye, I saw something move. Hello, I said, but no one answered. I saw it again. It looked like a young woman. She was pale and her eyes were dark. She seemed to glow. This was more than I could stand, and I took off running as fast as I could. Then I tripped and fell face down on the floor. I felt blood coming out my nose. I tried to get up, but then something jumped on my back. The weight held me down. I could feel its breath on the back of my neck. I tried to scream, but nothing came out. Then I was picked up and thrown through the darkness, hit the wall, and fell to the ground. I could then see what it was. It was the woman. She came at me with her hands outstretched. As she got up right on me, I blacked out. I woke to find myself face down on my porch. I stood up and looked around. Everything was normal. Confused, I gave a sign of relief. Then bang, the bookshelf and the house fell over. The ghost girl. I think I've seen a ghost. This isn't the most unique story, but it is a story I have to tell. I was a small child when I saw the ghost. I could have been seeing things. I could have been hearing things. My story starts when my parents were at the hospital as my mother was giving birth to my younger sister. I was staying with my grandparents who live in Ohio. The first night, I had trouble sleeping since I had to sleep all alone in the guest bedroom in this strange house. Late that night, I saw a weird shadow. It looked like the shadow of a girl just a little bit older than I was at the time. Frightened, I begged to sleep with my grandparents just for that night. But the next night, I was back in the guest bedroom. This night, I saw more of the shadow figure. She showed herself to me, and I saw her. I can still remember that night, seeing the girl with black hair, black eyes, and skin, literally as white as snow, walk across the room. She wore a smirk on her face, but she did not come near me. She walked across the room and was gone. She never approached me until the next day. I was about to leave to go home and was in that room searching for something. I felt something touch my shoulder, but I turned around and saw nothing. I was really scared, but after telling about my ghost sighting, no one believed me. It was just my overactive imagination, as I had been told. That was my last overnight stay there until 7 years later. But we went over there every Friday and it always felt so odd, like there was another uninvited person lurking in the corners. I didn't see or hear ghost girls, I called her when I was young, again for 7 years. I was watching my sister play paper dolls in the living room while my parents were out of town, and we were staying at my grandparents' house again. Grandma was in the kitchen, Grandpa was out somewhere. My sister and I heard a knocking on the wall. "Do that again," I asked. So it softly pounded again 3 times on the walls. "Show yourself," I said. And my sister and I saw the same girl I had seen years before. She was there a couple of seconds and then flash, she was gone. Was it a real ghost? I have no clue. But my sister seeing it too leads me to believe it couldn't have been my imagination. I also have been led to believe it is one of my ancestors. You see, I believe it is a ghost of the firstborn child of my great-grandparents and my grandma's older sister. Why she would be haunting her sister, I don't know. All I know is she died at the age of 7, about the age of ghost girl. Some of my family owned and still owns a farm up in Montana. My great-grandfather was working on the farm and my grandma's older sister wanted to help out. My great-grandfather let her get on the tractor and sit in his lap. Somehow the girl ended up falling out of the tractor. I am not sure how, but she did and she was killed under the tractor before her father could do anything. I'm still trying to figure out if she's a real ghost, and if so, whose ghost she is. But I have a feeling it was that little girl that was killed so many years ago. Look out. 2 years ago, I came back from boarding school in Europe to find out that my parents were getting a divorce. My father was going to move out soon, and I decided I wanted to live with him. 2 weeks later, we were moved into a 2-story house in Denver. Except one day while my father was out working late and his fiancée Marie was out on a business trip in New York, I was home alone. I really hated being alone at night in this house. The house seemed larger than it really was when I was alone. I was sitting in the living room, flipping through the channels at 7 at night with the lights on when I heard the doorbell ring. I almost sprinted to the door to find that there was no one there. On my way back to the living room, I picked up the house phone and called my dad, asking him if I could invite a friend to keep me company. He agreed and said he would be home a little later than he had intended. I immediately called my best friend and she was at my house in seconds. I told her about what had happened with the doorbell, but she had reassured me it was nothing but kids fooling around. Later that night, I had started to drift to sleep when Brooke was watching some stupid movie when the doorbell rang again. This time, Brooke answered it and yelled for me to come. I walked slowly to the door and gasped when I saw what was before me. Lying on my front porch was Mike, my neighbor's 16-year-old son, covered in blood. He was not dead, but he had a hard time breathing. Brooke walked outside to see if there was anyone around, but the street was empty. I rushed into the house and dialed 911. While waiting for the police and ambulance, Mike had slowly begun to open his eyes, but he kept repeating, "Look out!" Soon the police and ambulance had arrived, and that attracted the attention of most of the neighbors. Brooke's mom was on her way, as was my dad. The rest of the week, the police were investigating and had found out that in the early 1800s, a young boy was found brutally murdered on our property. But one thing I still don't know is what Mike meant by "look out," although I used to ask him often what he meant. He cannot remember. The evil lady. My sister would always tell me that at night while everyone was asleep, a lady would come stand beside her bed. She described the woman as see-through, with a long dress and long stringy hair down to her waist. She said when this lady came to her, she would sometimes smile at her. Then her smile would turn into an evil smirk, and without even moving her lips to talk, this ghostly woman would threaten her and tell my sister that our family did not belong in the house. She was going to make us leave. My sister would often complain to my mother about the lady. She would say the lady was holding her down at night and calling her names at weird hours of the night. But my mom would say it was her imagination, and since no one else saw the lady besides my little sister, I would laugh at her and tell her she was crazy. One night my sister even said the ghost was shaking my bed vigorously in an attempt to wake me, but I'm a hard sleeper and she did not succeed. Well, these ghost accusations went on for months with no one taking it seriously until one night I was awoken by a soft moaning sound. My sister was already awake, so together we listened to the sound. The shrieks of a lady seemed to be coming from the kitchen and getting louder and closer to our room. a sudden, I heard screaming, and it was so close, yet it still sounded so far away, as if our house was connected to another dimension. It was the strangest thing I ever experienced. Keep in my mind that my mom was still sound asleep in her room, and myself and my sister were awake, trying to figure out what was going on. We listened in terror as the lady screamed. Soon her screams began to fade as if she were being dragged away, and she didn't want to go. The screaming got lower and lower until we could not hear it anymore. That night, I finally knew my sister was sane, and she really did see a ghostly woman in our house because I heard her with my own ears. My sister said she felt like the ghostly lady was gone. I asked her how she knew, and she said she felt more at peace. The good news was that the ghostly lady had somehow gotten away from the house because my sister said she never saw her again. Friday the 13th. It was Friday the 13th in 2009 when I first heard the woman speak. She used to just walk around the house but never spoke. I was sitting in the lounge room when I saw her again. I was never scared of her. She had never done anything more than watch me. But when she watched me, I always got this awful feeling of dread, as if something bad could happen at any moment. I was watching TV and I felt her standing behind me. I just kept looking at the TV because I knew that if I looked at her, I would most likely scream, "You will die, young one." I froze up when I heard this. I didn't want to turn around, but my body turned of its own accord. I was terrified by what I saw. She was different from all the other times that I had seen her. This time her hair was longer and even darker, so that it was pitch black. She was wearing the same white dress, but this time it was spotted with red. "You will die for what you have done," she said again, and that was when I noticed her face. It was beautiful, but somehow scarier than anything else I had seen. I can't remember what I did next, but I know that I ran. I'm pretty sure I just ran into the street and stayed outside my house until my mom got home. We moved out shortly after this. My mother didn't believe me, but we still moved because of the fact that every time I closed my eyes, I would see that horribly beautiful face. After about a week in the new house, I looked up a bit of info on the old house and all the previous tenants. I found out that this ghost was of someone who was killed by her husband because he thought that she was cheating on him. Turns out that every Friday the 13th, she turns up like that and tries to kill whoever's in the house at the time. I don't know if she's still there or what she's doing, but I know that I am never going back there again. You may not believe me, and that's just fine, because I just want to say that she's for real, and I'm glad I could never be her victim. Something on the stairs. The house I live in always seems to have a dark cloud hanging over it. I would often see black figures hiding around the doorway to my sitting room and entering it via the stairs. My son, who was only little, would often wake up not long after I'd lay him into bed. He would often scream and say there was a man there. Sometimes he would be waiting at one of the bedroom doors for me, terrified to pass the other bedroom door, saying the man was there. My husband used to work away at weekends, and I didn't like staying on my own. I would sleep in a smaller room in a single bed, sharing it with my young son. Scratching noises on the wall beside my headboard often aggravated me, and I would hear noises in the room while trying to get to sleep. Sometimes objects would fall and I was too scared to go look. One weekend this came to a head. The aggravating seemed to become more intense. I jumped out of bed, ran to the landing, put the light on, sprang down the stairs, putting every light on as I went. I sat on the side of the armchair. No sooner had I reached the bottom of the stairs and sat on the chair, I saw a force which I can only describe as a whirlwind type energy, but in the shape of a person speeding or gliding down the stairs. The bottom of the stairs was out of sight, and no sooner did this thing, say, reach the bottom of the stairs, an overwhelming force stopped just short of an inch of my face. I can describe it. If you put your hand away from your face and then bring your hand as if to slap your face, but stop before you hit yourself as quick as you can, then you will experience the wind which was pushed to my face. I felt as though it was at my face. Quite intimidating. It came down those stairs at an amazing speed. When it was at my face, I could not see it. My legs buckled and I literally fell off the chair. I ran to my neighbors, terrified. Another night, my son had left the sitting room door open and my attention was alerted to a white ghost. It was exactly like the famous one on the stairs, as if it had a sheet over it covering the head too. It had no face, only dark. It had no legs or feet, and it stood there as if it did have legs and feet though. I could see all the details of the gown, all the creases. It stood staring at me as if it had no hands, and it was very real. It stayed for about 10 seconds and then vanished. I never like to leave doors open now for fear someone or something will walk in. This story was only the beginning. The Black Thing. I live by the road that takes you to the old ghost town. About half a mile up that road, you will come upon an old log chute used in the late 1800s. There's also a barn that looks like an old post office or something, and a mill. By the old log chute, there's a waterfall. When I was in junior high, I would always play up there with my younger brothers, and we would catch frogs. There's also a hill that is located across from my house. It's all pretty much conjoined together. Anyway, there's an old story that was told to my friend and I one day, that a young girl was killed up on that hill and her body was never discovered. Being the age that we believed it all. So one day, we were up on that hill playing around when we stumbled upon a setup that was like a bed. We weren't sure what to make of it, so we quickly moved out of there. We were back onto the road and decided to go play by the waterfall. The log chute I mentioned before goes all the way down to the barn. We had decided to walk it because it looked fun and we had nothing better to do. We made it all the way down and back to the waterfall when we saw it. It wasn't in any shape or form. It was just a black mass. We weren't sure what it was, but didn't want to stick around to find out. We ran back to our houses and stayed there. The next week, we had pushed it out of our minds, thinking we were just overreacting. Well, one day, not long after that, we went back to my friend's house one afternoon to grab a basketball. When we walked into her house, we saw the mass again. It quickly bolted around the corner, then disappeared into her mom's bedroom. We ran out of the house quickly and didn't go back in until her mom came home. The rest of the summer, we would see it every so often, either at my house, her house, or on the hill. One day, I was home by myself and had gotten bored. I don't know why, but I decided to go up to the waterfall by myself. I was doing fine, didn't see anything, so I thought maybe it was gone. I had made it pretty far down the log chute when I came upon this plastic-like tunnel that is there. It's about a 20-foot long tunnel. It was too short to crawl through, so I just walked around it. At about the halfway mark, I heard something jump on it, except it sounded like it was metal. But as I said, the tunnel appeared to be made out of plastic. I quickly ran back home. Since then, I haven't been up there, and that was about 5 years ago. We can still see the thing, but it doesn't bother us anymore. And that's just fine with me.